Okay, we have a problem here. The effects. This is Bob Neverett, and this is Payday, and I'm in charge. Well, I was. Now Bill's going to have to be in charge for a little bit as the some glitch mechanism has got into the special effects, and my things are not playing. So Bill's going to look at it after that, and I'm going to talk about today. This is an amazing day. Maybe I'm supposed to talk about this before we hear any music or something. This has been quite a day. 4 years ago, on December 11th, 2008, I was in New York City, and I packed up my books. I decided to move to Maui permanently, so my 2,000 books and papers were packed up and removed on December 11th, 2008, accompanied by the arrest of Bernie Madoff. It was a rainy, rainy day in New York City, and my guys were packing up the books in the truck while the rain was pouring down, and Bernie Madoff was carted off to jail. So, here it is, 4 years to the day, December 11th, 2012, just before the Mayan calendar collapsed, and I had all my books back, all 2,000 books and papers and incredible archives. I have my ammunition back. So, I was out all day unpacking 5,000 pounds of books, 133 boxes. What else, Carolyn? Weight 5,000 pounds, 133 boxes, and I got three.
And you were at the beach when they arrived.
Yes, I went to the beach early to accommodate that, and I got home, and they'd already arrived right on time, which I didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. So, and who had to take care of that?
Carolyn had to help the guy, the one guy, push the cart up the hill, and if it had been another 3 degrees incline, they would have failed. But Carolyn, like a good trooper, pulled it off and covered for Bob, and Bob saunters in, and look, there's the big boxes. Carolyn took a photograph of it, all of them piled up. Neighbors were shocked. One neighbor. We only got one neighbor. So, I did the... Oh, sounds like... Oh, somebody's applauding. That means it's working. Let's see if this works now. What do you think, Bill? I'm going to click on it and see if it works. Here it goes. This is what we should have started with. Nope. Not working. It's been quite... amazing, unpacking the books and looking at this stuff I haven't seen in 4 years. I have a very good library, representative of many things, a good quadriphenic sampling of the 20th century and earlier centuries. And it was interesting looking at it all and thinking about it as I pondered the effects of ION and where we're at now. A lot of ways the books are obsolete, but I don't think so. I think for those still hanging out in the mortar world, my books are going to serve very well. Let's see. All right, so let's try. I'm going to hook up something else to play. Go over here to my system preferences and click on sound. Put it into Soundflower 2CH. Output's ready. Set up the. We're going to continue the McLuhan on Maui session that we were playing last week. And what's interesting about it is there Buzz Kosin and Andrew Crystal and Chad are going to do a tetrad on ION with ION hanging in there responding. So let's see if this works. We'll play a little, be a little bit overlap, maybe a minute of last week's repeat of a minute. And then into new stuff.
Think. Not to buy...
Not think. To get you to
no,
not think.
To not think. Think. Not to think. To not think.
No.
Yeah, and that, and George and Gerd were wrong. He wanted you to, above all, he had the quote right there in this, from the Bible, above all, you must perceive. Perception. Not think. That's why it says in Mimi Massage, there's no inevitability if you are willing to contemplate. He doesn't say think about, but contemplate. That's not thinking.
Yeah, well, it's not.
Well, you know,
okay.
It's funny. That's the first thing that George said.
Well, George was wrong. He meant something that I'm getting at, but you don't use the word think.
No,
but George said the very first thing George said.
Differences to that.
The very first thing George said was it's all about perception.
Yes, you're right. He did say, that's why I didn't object to him saying think, because I knew he meant that when he used the word think. But he certainly didn't mean conceptualizing.
It's not an unreflexive act. It is definitely, there's the second look. I mean, that's the preservation of the second look.
Second look was caused by the phonetic alphabet. It was a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, and totally, and that's I think the one of the services of the phonetic alphabet that McLuhan fought desperately to preserve.
Say again?
Say that again?
That was right on the heels of any club that have me as a member, I wouldn't be a part of. Yeah.
Did Andrew, did you say that Mac was trying to preserve the phonetic alphabet? Is that what you were saying?
Not in its totality, but like definitely there are services to the phonetic alphabet that McLuhan definitely fought to preserve.
Bullshit.
No, there's a good point to argue about, to think about, to contemplate, Andrew. Restate your position. I know what Andrew's saying. I know what Ion's saying.
We love to play. It's funny. You may get somewhere.
Yeah.
Dig it out. Throw the ball, George. Throw the ball.
why else would you write our book, among other things?
Because he recants anyone he ever wrote.
He what?
He recants anyone he ever wrote.
True. So to offer something and to negate it doesn't necessarily deprive it of its immediate propping up of something for its services.
Yeah, there was an immediacy to it.
At the moment,
he was doing was using the tools that were available at the time to express his ardors or ideas. I mean, he had nothing really invested in books per se. It's just that it was like, you know, if he could have made videos, he would have done that.
He would have used all media, and that was the real action. He'd mime tactility, which is not a sense, but the interplay and the programming of all the senses. He wanted to program them all. And aware of the effects of each one as he did it. So it's quite comprehensive what he was doing.
And the outcomes that they purvey.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, but he didn't really write books, did he? And
no.
He wasn't like he was a writer. He was just a person who was using that medium, and he was doing what I was doing, just dragging all kinds of shit into it, throwing it in a format that was easy to do at that time, and throwing it out there and see what happened.
And he said
he
did that.
That's not the way Eric tells the story.
No, that's right. Eric doesn't tell it that way, does he? But back to what it's accurate, Buzz. He says that you write about TV grab bag, which is how he wrote Understanding Media. That's why it's dramatic, not epic. Eric is in the epics level of the Gutenberg Galaxy, the literary people. As a matter of fact, in Eric's book, Electric Language, he says and emphasizes the epical. And no one's ever said about you, Eric, and you just better check this out, Eric, what I just said. You're stuck in the Gutenberg Galaxy epical phase. Don't get the dramatic. Though maybe by now he's tuned into the dramatic.
Well, now here's the thing. Eric is Mac pushed to the extreme.
Backwards. Yeah.
Introvertedly so.
Right. What do you think it is, Eric? You're getting a private reading right here in front of everybody.
full frontal non-physical nudity. Take it off, boy.
Full frontal. There was a good point there, Buzz. You're talking about the temper. Oh, yeah. New York Times article, January 67, I think. Richard Castellanos, poet, conceptual poet, and archivist in New York City, interviews McLuhan. And McLuhan says, concepts, going on about percepts over concepts, he says, concepts give people a temporary grip on reality. And he knew his books would be interpreted as conceptual. Oh, he made the theory, the medium is the message. So he knew his books would give people a conceptual grip on reality. It was like a medicine, an anesthetic, while the whole tsunami happened. So that's how he did his book.
LSD.
Yeah, LSD.
Yeah. I mean, he never really sat down and wrote a book. He dictated, he grabbed quotes from all kinds of stuff, he dragged Harley in and threw pictures into stuff. You know, he was a man.
He was a man on the run. He had a role. He had to speak to people. He was a manager. All over the place.
Well, yeah,
he didn't have time to write
books. He was an entertainer.
Yeah.
He was an entertainer. He was trying to be entertaining by using the media of his time to point out the changes in the media that was coming. You know?
Well, let me add something to that, Buzz. He was a particular kind of entertainer. He said, my method is the method of Pat Paulson. If you remember him, he comedically ran for president of the United States in 68 or so.
Right.
That's exactly what McCool was doing. Comedically running for president of the United States or any authoritative position where he could implement the real rules of the power.
Right. And it just sparked in my mind the idea that Bush Jr., you know, W, was Pat Paulson, you know, done as a real thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. Good point.
Yeah.
That was Henry's boy, wasn't it?
Oh, he's citing Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury.
Yeah, there we go.
Henry Paulson. Henry was Pat Paulson's boy.
There you go. Henry was Pat Paulson pushed to the extreme, whereas Bush was just a parody.
Okay. Or parody thereof, yes.
Well, that's effectively right. He had the fatic George Bush and the emphatic Henry Paulson.
Right.
And the tactile position behind it was me, with Ion lurking in the wings to create the global cult.
But it's perception and to perceive. Like, that's only one pole of the other aspect that McLuhan doesn't talk about, which he shuts out, of poetic exegesis, which is fundamentally orientated towards one thing. Ion, do you want to tell me what I'm about to say?
Well, if you don't know, you certainly won't believe us.
I know what I'm about to say.
It's hard to get Ion to play games. He'll tell you later when you don't expect it.
Yeah, sweet. So the other pole is judgment, right? And so that's the pole, that's the invisible pole in McLuhan's work, right? So perception in and of itself has got no end. There is no, you know, this flux nirvana thinking nonsense.
No, that's the Bergsonian flux that he thought Lewis was a good enemy of. You mean judgment, you mean precision.
To judge and to render in
the distance between the priest and the elders is what you're trying to say.
Now, that's a pretty incredible statement, guys, if you knew what it referred to. So the elders are what you people probably are digging. The priest is the authority versus power. Elders would be power, Ion. Priests would be authority.
Other way around.
Oh, elders are authority.
The other way around. Yeah, the elders
are
authority.
And the priest is power. And now you're getting into tiny note chart. I do have priests besides the poor one.
We told y'all that's where it's going to end in tears. That's exactly right.
But I'll veer to the left and get out of there.
Or B or AB or BB. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to head over to the Thompson quadrant. Okay, so we're out of there. That was close. We're in the Thompson quadrant where there's a teacher. Okay, so Andrew, pursue this. He says priests versus elders. Figure out what he means so you relate your judgment to that.
Or disagree. That's all right. We don't
or disagree,
you
Andrew.
Right. You have the right to be wrong.
Yeah, no, I could care. I can be neither right nor wrong. It doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't mean anything in my own personal mythology.
I like that. Good. You just were channeling your non-physical there, Andrew.
Be careful. They'll call you a member of Bob's cult.
You know, I've already been tarred with that brush already.
Yes.
Bless his heart.
Pursue it, Andrew. Priests versus elders.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that's the point of distinction with where I was pointing out where McLuhan would not have pursued the trajectory that Ion laid out, which is fair. Ion doing different thing, but I'm just saying that it was that when you readmit that other pole of judgment, which is the
now listen to this, Andrew. Ion has said many times at Cashflow, unlike Marsh McLuhan, we're trying to tell you something. if there's anybody who's judging people, it's Ion, but in a very complex, not your conventional literary way. It's a very subtle judgment. And Ion is dead. We got a few days before you get off the bus.
Well, a more genteel way or specific way to say it, it's soon coming the moment where you're going to shit or get off the pot.
You think that's happening to humanity? That you're judging, you're making
think,
that call.
We don't think.
You see it already happened.
We know.
Well, you know, pursuing this whole idea that Ion has laid out, it has occurred to me that all these events that were...
This is the hour. This is the new dawn. This is the new day.
There you have it. I assume I'm on the air. A lot of little glitches. Carolyn, sounds like I'm on the air, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
Bob.
Yeah, you know what happened? I was going to email that song to you because that's the one I wanted to click on, and I just checked it and came on and broadcast into the station. So was it clear, too loud, or what?
Oh, no, it was clear. Apparently you weren't watching the board. If you log off of your host panel and log back in, you'll see everything there. It was something in the file name caused them to not play, so they're fixed now, but you're going to have to log off and log back on real fast, and then all will be well.
Should I log off Skype, you mean?
Yeah, just the access panel.
What's that mean? I don't know how to... I just disconnect from Skype, and you're going to call me back,
no,
right?
Not Skype, your green panel.
Oh, you got to reset that.
Yeah, you have, if you reset that, you'll see all your files there, and everything should be well.
Oh, great. All right, so I clicked out. Now I come back to Manage FX, right? And my list, check, make the list. There's the list. Go to my setup.
I think I got it set up the way you wanted it, Bob. Just you can go to the main panel and look through your list, and it should be what you want.
Okay, I'm going to play another song, see if it works. Okay? Not working. Yeah, it's not working. So, Bill, what are you saying we do? That was Cookie and the Cupcakes, around 1959. Now, I want to play the beginning of my opening song just a little bit, because I think we missed it. And let's see if it works. Gone back out, come back in. We click on it. Okay, now that is Duke Edwards and the Young Ones in 1968 with a performance called Why? Why? Question mark. Duke Edwards and the Young Ones out of Montreal. You can look that up if you want to hear some other work by Duke Edwards. Pretty interesting musician. 40 years ago, and he played with Sun Ra, started off with Sun Ra, went on to other stuff, ended up in Rhinoceros, which had Billy Mundy, the former drummer for Zappa, playing in 69-70 in Rhinoceros. Okay, so we have a message from Lovejob in Atlanta. He says, "Hey, Bob, hope the show is going well. Tell the actor dude I said hey." Now, the actor dude is Jamie Kidney. And good news, Jamie Kidney will be here on Thursday for us to discuss all matters relating to what he can't say about Fringe. So it'll be about other topics, subtly bringing in Fringe elements. You can count on me or Carolyn to do that. And so look forward to interacting with James Kidney, and he should have his RNA drops by tomorrow. He should have them in his body by Thursday, so we will be witnessing the mutation of him right here on Payday. I'm in charge 48 hours from now. We're going to hear this guy who is going to be, as far as I understand, projecting, nothing confirmed. He will be the last new character introduced by J.J. Abrams in the Fringe character, in the Fringe series. He will be the one behind it all, behind the Watchers. Mr. Baldy number one. So that should be really interesting. So, yes, I will pass it on, Lovejob, to the actor dude, and say, hey, and definitely love job. You should register in, get your appointment, get your hotel booking and everything. Get into town probably tomorrow night so you're ready on Thursday night to interact with James Gidney. Now, Richard in Saskatoon, there is a Richard who what did he do? I think he did a rewrite. He did Revelation. I think he actually participated in a couple of rewrites. And he's saying here, he's on Saskatoon, hi, Bob and gang, listening from chilly Saskatoon, but still in charge. Excellent, Richard, excellent, still in charge. I'm now on all four of your products. Most impressed by Remag. Are you off mute?
No.
Are you muted?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, do it again.
Yee-hee!
Yeah, yeah, we got a problem here. Town's Remag is getting better reviews than our RNA drop. I don't know if I have to put up with it too much longer, but Carolyn thinks she did Remag. It's her work. Right?
Yeah.
So most impressed by Remag has ended years and years and years of muscle soreness in a dramatic way. Very good. Yes, I was magnesium deficient. Well, aren't we all? We're all magnesium. You must be insane if you don't read Dr. Dean's book and take Remag. You just have to be insane. Yes, I was magnesium deficient and didn't know. Yeah, well, what is it? I would say, join the club. What is this line? Welcome to my world. Welcome to my world, Richard. I believe, says Richard, I have done some parallel world shifting as of late. So have I, Richard. Maybe we will meet. He says, it's very cool when it happens, and I recognize it. Well, very good. Very good, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I'll attribute that to the Remag. I think the Remag gets you magnesium deficiency is fixed up. And it's guaranteed to go through your chromosome 14 and just go to other worlds and meet Duke Edwards and Sun Ra and all and jam with them, and you'll actually be able to play an instrument in that world. So, let's see, there's another message here from Harold. Is this it? Yes, Harold, this is it. That was an old Alan Watts book, came out about 1960, called This Is It. Imagine titling a book, This Is It. Well, Alan Watts popularized Zen Buddhism in American religious circles and counterculture circles, and college circles, dropout circles, high executive circles, and Illuminati circles. So Harold, yes, this is it. You'll have to follow up on that point. And while Harold gets his act together, I'm going to play a second song by Cookie and His Cupcakes. Let's see if it works. See? Doesn't work, Bill. Unless there's a delay. So play Cookie and His Cupcakes. Do Got You On My Mind. See if you got that. You can click it on, Bill. At the bottom of the list, Got You On My Mind. No, nothing. Zilch. Okay, so we're going to go back to Ion in the Future. This is Ion and Buzz Kostin and Andrew Crystal going at it. And rather than trying to rewrite it slightly, because we kind of had the song override it for 10 seconds, assuming it wasn't that significant, we will just press the button and go forward.
It's all has been thinking for at least the last 20, 30 years at the end here. Now, this is, or maybe even for the last couple thousand years, but thought it. And these events, are, I think, reflect that consciousness of humankind.
You've had a lot, great, big old earthquakes. That this world has been quaking. The difference now is you seeing people tweeting their twats regarding every little bit of flatulence in the world. It's no different. There's no more calamity than it's ever been calamity. They had these shaking village. They had lots of shaky. Start building these castles and sitting in the sky, and you start shaky, and all of a sudden there's rains of terror and blood in the street. It's no big whoop to us.
Well, that's what McClellan said. He said the art, the condition of man never changed, but the conditions for the artist changed.
Well, plus, I think the distinguishing factor here, though, is that, you know, when Pompeii happened, there were a hell of a lot less people around, and the ability to communicate about it was a hell of a lot less than it is now. So now it gets amplified, and, you know, that amplification creates a mindset that seems to be circulating through the planet right now.
I'll give you a little reference. Hold on, Ian, just for this McCombs part, you look up explorations, look up radio versus TV and the absent-minded. I think it's that essay. McLuhan ends it by blurring his statement into a Finnegan's Way quote, and he kind of doesn't make the distinction, so it might have been intentional or a misprint. But it ends the quote by going, amplify. Just want to show you that.
And the example for today would be, wait for it, winning.
And then grinning.
And grinning.
Cool. You know what that refers to,
Bob? I need to apologize.
What's
for
that?
Out.
You're forgiven.
Andrew, you keep blocking out right when the good stuff said. You're going to have to listen to this tape, go all the way through. You're missing the fucking nuggets.
Well, that's what I like about the synchronicity of this. You know, when I have to listen to it afterwards, I always hear the dropouts and the bumps and the boops and all that stuff right at the right time.
Yeah.
Like there's a horn blows when somebody says something significant, or somebody drops out and the bell dongs just as something significant is said. I've noticed this before in other things.
No, you're right. You're right. I noticed that when I re-listened to Tailgate. You're right. It punctuates.
Yeah. Right. It's a kind of a synchronistic punctuation that I've noticed this in other things, of course, but I mean, it's also very noticeable in these things.
Because they go on so long, you have the opportunity for them to happen.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I'm always tuned into that shit anyway. I'm always listening to the sounds around me punctuating what's going on as I'm traveling through this thing.
What would you call that, Ion, if you thought of anything, if that could be labeled, what would you call that tendency?
Living.
Yeah, that would be right.
Yeah.
Finally, we agree.
We have all along. We're just waiting on you.
I see.
So, that'll hit you about 3 o'clock in our morning.
Well, actually, in basic stuff, Ion, I don't think you and I are that too far off. But when you
not at all. And that's fun because it's not. Actually, it's closer than you think. And the whole.
Well, I think we're pretty close. That's why I keep telling Bob I've heard this shit before. You know, it's like
that's the problem, Buzz. You're referring to what it was before. There's an ongoing Howard Cosell commentary. The role of the artist is to update the dialect of the tribe. Ion is the voice that's mixing with the other voices, and that fine-tuning is faster than you can make the YouTubes. That's what you should be aesthetically involved in. It doesn't cost you anything.
I'm fine-tuning my own shit. In my own Looney Tunes.
Oh yeah, that's what we're all doing, and that's all you can do now. But when you get up in the morning and look at the news and all that, look at what Ion says about what you're scanning in the mortar world. You'll find it quite dramatic.
That has nothing to do with Buzz or any of the other entities. That's just my brain wants to suck up.
Yeah, that's the brain.
Like
that's the outer kingdom.
Like my chemical body wants to drink coffee.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it is. It's nothing to do with you. It's another reason it's in the cult.
Right.
This is about the world of mortar that Ion is interacting with and sculpting and carving the greatest artist right now alive. Because
and
nobody can keep up.
You find validity in NPR news.
No, I don't find validity in it. Again, it's just something, it's some relaxing noise to do yoga by, you know? It's not.
But we should note that Ion remembered that you said 3 hours ago about the NPR news. He was listening. That was before.
Well, I actually don't listen to the news shit. I listen to the interviews and the artsy shit and stuff like that. It's just fatic bullshit to, you know, keep my mind doing something.
That your brain requires. Well, Ion is just fatic bullshit, but very perceptive and has an emphatic agenda.
No different from my agenda.
That's true. I would agree with that.
Good. And we say wonderful. Because the more and more and more you come into your place of power, the less and less and less there's required of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I've been in my place of power since I was born. You know, it's like, yeah.
But that's true, Buzz, but I find the way to explain it is that Ion's here to teach you how to talk and how to talk and engage the mortar and see how it goes and yet not be hypnotized by it. How do, you,
well,
you're
you
making
know, again,
YouTube
I,
is your talk in response to the mortar world. And I is engaged in mortar for the first time to show us how to talk about it.
Yeah, but see, I began doing the language thing back with NLP in the early 80s, you know. I'm fully aware of
We're not talking
of,
that language. We're talking about collective voluntary ESP responding on the autonomic
right.
level. Like I'm
yeah,
doing
right,
right. now.
This is, yeah, well, this, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you were trying to describe 3 hours ago, how you make your videos, is like autonomically, and I would add the point about it's the, what's the other system? The lipid system? The lipids are in the lamping. What's
the
that third
system? The lymph. The
lymph. No, there was
the
a, what is it, Ion? The sympathetic, parasympathetic, and the?
Visceral nervous system.
Oh, is this, there's that, recognize that fucking voice. Yeah, this is James from Australia. Did you come
hey,
in
everyone.
An hour ago and speak, James?
No, I just came in that second.
Oh, okay, because you said, I knew there was a, I thought you were there, but what is the third system?
Let's see.
The so lipid, the limbic.
Yeah, that's it.
The limbic.
Yeah,
what you're describing is either the autonomic buzz or the, whatever the other, what was the one that wasn't autonomic, that wasn't, the nervous, what?
Well, he said visceral nervous.
What are the goddamn three fucking systems? Autonomic, limbic, and
visceral nervous system.
Visceral, right. You got three aspects there, Buzz. It'd be interesting to know which one you're emphasizing as you douse your videos.
Well, again, you know, trying to find you, I don't take the Buzz chemical body as being Buzz or any of the other names that the thing has, you know? It's just a fucking spacesuit that I'm walking around in. Whoever I am, whatever the fuck that is, what it does and what I am are two different things.
Well, are you complaining or bragging?
I guess I'm just stating a fact.
No facts here.
Right. You know, this is my experience. I realized a long time ago that this chemical body was not whatever the essence of whatever this is. Whatever it is, I don't know. That part I can't define, but I do know that the chemical body is not me.
What is it? What is the insight here, because we know the chemical body refers to the physical, and the physical is all there is, according to Ion, and it's here forever. So, Ion, what would you say the insight Buzz is referring to in his own life that he had a long time ago, as opposed to what he can learn now or not?
A river in Egypt.
A river in Egypt.
Well, I don't think I'm denying anything. I'm accepting the reality of what it is. There's this thing called the chemical body, and it seems to be real. It's not. And but for sake of discussion and all that, you have to kind of pretend that this thing is somehow you, but it certainly isn't.
Okay, Ion says that what you see is not real, what you don't see is real. So the part of your body you can see is not real, but the part of your body that you can't see, that is the most real and forever, and it is physical, whatever I could mean by the word physical. Non-physical was an invention by us, because we couldn't take being in the physical. But the physical, we couldn't take the eternity.
Well, you separated yourself from your power, and then you used the rest of your, what you call, lifespan or generations to validate and find the breadcrumbs that you left for yourself on how to get back into your place of power, which is where you originally forfeited that place of power from your beginning place. That's all.
Yeah. But where's this assumption that there's a loss of power? There's no loss of power. Everybody is creating their thing all the time, regardless of whether you're aware of it or not. You're doing it.
Absolutely. So then what's all this puffery about trying to figure all this out? Then you'd know who
I'm not trying to figure anything out.
Oh, yes, you are. You're watching and scanning the media.
I'm just watching and scanning the thing that I'm walking around in. I have no idea.
Well, then you're controlled by it. I challenge you to not watch the media anymore.
No idea is not obtained from a place of I already know.
Well, no idea means I don't have any concepts associated with my experience. I just have my experience.
But that's relegated to your creation.
Right. Well, exactly. And so it's all my creation.
So once you come into your place of knowing, you can then decide in, well, some may say divine, what your outcome is relegated to be. That's what power is.
Well, first of all, I already have my power, you know, so there.
Okay, Buzz, I challenge you never to sit and look at NPR and all that stuff you describe in your habit for the next 2 years. Do not do that activity. Could you do that?
Well, he's enjoying the
play. Of course I could do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We know about enjoyment. I'm challenging Buzz. Because it sounds like you're in.
Well, first of all, you don't dictate my reality or my challenges. I do that. And I've already done the disconnection thing, and I know how to do it.
Here's the thing. Open yourself up to allow someone else to make this suggestion. Of course I can't influence you at all, but be polite and pretend you're considerate.
But I have, not only have I considered it, I've done it.
Oh yeah, you did do it in Kauai. So okay, is it time to...
I've done it.
You did it in Kauai for a couple of years. No, that's true. You did it in Kauai. Now you're not doing it. Could you do it again? Or you decided not to do that extreme?
Look, I can do anything I want to do, and I've been doing that for the last, you know, how many fucking not years.
Right. So?
I mean, you know, how many people live my life, dude? You know, like if I'm not an example of all this shit.
A lot of people
about,
live your life. Most people on welfare in the United States live your life. They don't make stuff.
They travel around. They travel around Asia, and they do it by television. Okay. All right. So, but you know, whatever.
Oh, sounds like you're valuing the chemical body there.
Well, I'm just pointing out that if you put that in the chemical body context, I have that power. I have the power to do anything I want, and I've been doing that for a long time.
And everybody else, you said, does that. So there's no distinction in that.
They may or may not realize how to control that.
How do we define our realization? How do we know when we've realized it?
Well, when you experiment with it and make shit.
I think Ion has come in.
Tell us, God Buzz, how do you achieve it consistently?
Who can do it consistently? Maybe just
God,
you. But I do.
Exactly. God.
But I do know.
Who knows who they are, one in their place of power, can do it every single time without fail or exception.
Uh-huh. Well, that may be. But sometimes
it's not maybe. It is.
It is.
So, Ion has Buzz on the ropes there. He just got a little aggressive and just plowed into Buzz. I'm there on the sidelines giggling in delight at the violence. So, this is from March 14th. What you're listening to is March 14th, 2011, the third episode of our Makuhuna Maui series. Very interesting interactions. Interesting to hear again. I don't know if any of you in the audience have heard this before. You can comment on that if you have or not. Okay, so we're going to take a break, and hopefully the music will be working, and we'll be back in 5 minutes or so. Okay.
There's a place that all American soldiers hold in their hearts. It's home.
Chicago, Illinois.
Temple, Texas.
Georgetown, South Carolina.
But when they're away from home, there's another place they turn to. It's the USO. And in more than 130 locations around the world, for American troops and their families, it's as close to home as you can be.
Fort Worth, Texas. Los Angeles, California.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
The USO is how America supports her troops.